I have yet to find in the Nag Hammadi texts any indications or descriptions of hardware as remarkable as the one that we saw earlier. Rather, the people who wrote the Nag Hammadi materials, and we might touch on who they are mm-hmm. here in a minute, seem to be of quite a different orientation than the Dead Sea sect. In the first place, they were not waiting for any kind of supernatural beings to come and save them. They were not an apocalyptic group, the people who wrote the Nag Hammadi text. They seem to have been much more concerned with observing the activities of that other apocalyptic group, and they were concerned with alien intrusion upon humanity as not a good thing. It was not something that they welcomed. It was something that they were warning us about.
Very concerned.
Yes. In fact, that is one of the striking differences. When you put these two ancient sets of documents side by side and compare them, you come up with some rather remarkable insight.
It's strange because on one, those with the Dead Sea Scrolls, they seem to be looking toward them for help and guidance. On the in Egypt, it was totally opposite.
It was totally opposite. And there is, in fact, not just hints or suggestions in the Egyptian material that these alien entities were not well inclined toward humanity, but there is quite an elaborate teaching. I would call it a body of teaching regarding the origin and nature of extraterrestrial contact, where they come from, what they're doing here, what their relationship to humanity is, what their methods are, how they operate. There's one text called the Second Apocalypse of James, which describes a direct first-hand encounter. There's a phrase in the Second Apocalypse of James, they abduct souls by night. So this to me is a very clear description of the typical UFO abduction when the subject is paralyzed or teleported out of their bed.
I've always wondered if some of these Egyptian statues, John, were portrayals of these entities, these beings.
That could very well be. There are certainly some of them that don't look human, and some of them that have a very, very odd, very odd look about them.
Did you, and we're going to move into these nine categories shortly, mm-hmm. did you do any investigating of Zachariah Sitchin's work and some of his similarities with some of this?
Extensively. In fact, Sitchin is the main exponent of one of the categories we're going to be discussing. And I have read all of Sitchin's stuff. I think there are, about 8-9 volumes?
Yeah, he keeps adding to them, too.
The Earth Chronicles, right. Yeah. First he wrote the Earth Chronicles, and then he kind of completed them at 6 or 7 volumes, I think. And then he continued to write and elaborate his ideas. Now, Sitchin is a profound scholar, as you know.
Right.
This man is no charlatan. I mean, he can read several ancient languages. He can read the Dead Sea Scrolls in the original.
Not a lot of people can read that.
Not a lot of people can read that. The curious thing is, though, George, in my knowledge of Sitchin's work, and I may be mistaken, but he does not refer to these essential Egyptian materials. He does not refer to the Nag Hammadi materials.
You're right about that. He does
refer to the Dead Sea Scrolls.
And then, of course, the Sumerian texts, which he uses quite a bit.
Actually, the most ancient written documents that survive in the world. You know, I often think that we have our high technology now. We have CD-ROMs and so forth, but we're beginning to be a little bit uncomfortable because we know that CD-ROMs can decay. And this electronic information that we have stored is extremely vulnerable,
sure.
Isn't it? Well, the Sumerian tablets were written on clay. They were imprinted in clay in a cuneiform language and baked. And they have survived for 3,800 years?
At least.
So I would like to know if a CD-ROM that we have on the desk today is going to be playable in 3,600 years.
Even if it was, we probably wouldn't have computers that it could play on.
Well, there you go. So we're very lucky that somebody invented the technology of these clay tablets.
Now, this question to you might be somewhat controversial in that it appears to me that what these people of the time period were witnessing were extraterrestrials coming down in mass. Could that then have been misconstrued as we talk about the gods and stories of God? Could they have confused real-life extraterrestrial events and just made them godlike?
Well, it's fairly certain to me that many of the descriptions of so-called gods in the Sumerian tablets and in the Dead Sea Scrolls are descriptions of extraterrestrials. Now, that doesn't exclude the possibility that there are some other kinds of gods, you know, some divine beings,
right,
or supernatural beings may well exist. But the remarkable thing is that the textual evidence we have points very clearly to gods who are of an alien or extraterrestrial nature.
There are also just too many things that point toward extraterrestrial visitation. I keep thinking of the work in Abydos in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and clearly on those etchings, they've got what look like flying machines. There's one that I got to tell you looks like a modern day helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
I think, John, one of two things. Either there was visitation of extraterrestrials with incredible technology, or this planet was more advanced than a lot of us thought that it might have been at the time, and something happened. Maybe civilizations had high technology, had flying machines, had vehicles, but maybe we blew ourselves up then.
Well, you know, it's very hard to tell that the distance in time that we are from the time when these documents are written. But there's a lot of evidence for the second point you're making there. You know, if we just switch momentarily to Asia, to India, there are also ancient documents in India which describe these Vimanas, they're called. And the Vimanas are very clearly flying vehicles which have extraordinary properties, more extraordinary than jet planes,
mm-hmm.
and also have what we would call destructive or nuclear capacities, very clearly described. And there's no question that these Vimanas were developed by the ancient civilization of the Earth itself. So you're absolutely right. I think we have to consider both hypotheses side by side. Not only was there ancient contact, but we ourselves had an advanced technology.